Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Cindy reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, December 16th. MOTRAN marks big year for Permian. President points to 1 to 14 designation and direct flights as example of progress by Mella McEwen. MOTRAN got an early start on its holiday celebration at its 2021 annual review on Wednesday. The Midland-Odessa Transportation Alliance highlighted what MOTRAN President James Beacham called a strong year. The only thing better would be if Santa converted the naughty list from coal to natural gas, he quipped. One of the things we've done at MOTRAN is put a lot of money into telling our story, including on social media, he told the gathering. It's going well. Telling our story and making sure we're heard, telling why the Permian Basin is important. Beacham led off the event at the Petroleum Museum with a clip of the September visit by Senator Ted Cruz, Republican, Texas, championing the designation of Interstate 14 to include Midland-Odessa and the central Permian Basin. In that clip, Cruz called the Permian Basin Texas on steroids. Beacham said he thought that comment was an apt summation of the Permian's importance. Interstate 14 through Midland-Odessa was one of four top highlights MOTRAN featured. Beacham said the new designation will provide better connections to strategic Gulf ports as well as connections to other ports like Savannah, Georgia, the third largest in the country. It will also connect energy production and national defense installations and serve as a critical hurricane evacuation route. The designation will expand the Permian Basin's sphere of economic influence across five states, Texas to Louisiana through Mississippi and Alabama to Georgia, to support economic growth in energy, agriculture, and consumer goods. What was key to the effort, which began in 2016, was support from elsewhere in the country, Beacham said. We need to make connections from one end of the country to the other, he remarked. It's important to have friends all over. A second highlight is the progress on Loop 250 in Midland and Loop 338 in Odessa. This fall opened a new overpass on East Loop 250 with interchanges at County Road 1150 and County Road 60. MOTRAN leveraged the project in conjunction with the Midland Development Corps, which provided funding along with the City of Midland and Midland County to accelerate the project. A similar project underway at Loop 250 and County Road 1140 is scheduled for completion next month and will complete East Loop 250 from Interstate 20 to Todd Road. Progress is also being made in planning of Loop 338 expansion and development of a Pecos Loop. MOTRAN also celebrated the return of Southwest Airlines' direct flight from Midland to Austin, which will take to the air this coming March 10th, with departures from Midland at 6:30 a.m. and from Austin at 7:50 p.m. The association also celebrated securing an additional $52 million in state and federal funding for area infrastructure. While MOTRAN is celebrating its successes on the ground and in the air, Beacham indicated that the area's dominant oil and gas industry has not been overlooked. He noted that Texas natural gas, including from Permian Basin fields, is the top export to Mexico, and we think it will get better. That means more connections, more markets. Air Force veteran to run for Precinct 2 seat. Summers emphasizes infrastructure and goals for commissioner role by Stuart Doreen. Jeff Summers thinks right now is his time to make a greater impact in the community, and that is one reason he is running for County Commissioner, Precinct 2. Summers has lived most of his life in Precinct 2, living in Greenwood during his younger years before moving within the district and graduating from Midland High. After service in the Air Force, he returned to the area and currently resides in Greenwood. Precinct 2 in Midland County includes some areas near or along A Street in central and northern Midland. Then there are areas of Precinct 2 north of Loop 250, moving east into the county, including Greenwood and Valley View. Summers and incumbent Robin Donnelly will be on the March 1st Republican Party's primary ballot. Summers currently is a member of the Greenwood ISD School Board, where he has served 11 years. Precinct 2 kind of fits me, Summers said. I have done quite a bit in it. I came back after serving in the Air Force, built a few businesses, and a love for the community. My resume speaks for itself. I want to give some of that back. Summers listed being a graduate of United States Air Force Academy in 1992 with a degree in business management. He also shows being a self-employed business owner in the oil and gas industry. His key issues include bringing water to residents in the county, mainly in the east and southeastern portion of the precinct. The weather event and ensuing issues with the power grid in February was an example of how depending on water wells can negatively impact a community, he said. Finishing Loop 250 and improving the road that connects Farm to Market 307 to Interstate 20. That stretch of road could be improved in a short period of time, he said. Turn the Horseshoe Complex into a revenue-generating asset instead of a maintenance liability. Work closely with the Midland City Council. Emphasis on all first responders, roads, bridges, and facilities. Jeff and his wife Sharla have 3 children and are members of First Presbyterian Church. I have a window that I can serve in this capacity, said the 52-year-old Summers. Moving to this office and into this position would be a gear shift from the school board, but I believe I can help the county and I believe I have a resume to support service back to the county. Local options help make Christmas a little sweeter. From treats to dinner, pre-ordered food can leave more time for holiday fun with family. By J.C. Lewis. Need help rounding out Christmas dinner or simply need sweets to keep family entertained after opening presents? Check out these catering options. Max Barbecue and Catering is offering smoked brisket, $150. Whole turkey breasts, $50. St. Louis-style ribs, $30 for full or $15 for half. Brined smoked whole chicken, $20. Honey glazed ham, $65. And smoked whole turkey, $65. Now through January 1st. Family-sized value meals that serve 4 to 6 people are $69.99. And include 2.5 pounds of any meats and 3 pints of sides and fixins. The family value meal serves 8 to 10 people for $99.99 and comes with 4.5 pounds of any meats and 4 pints of sides or fixins. The restaurant is also catering homemade chocolate and pecan pies for $20. Call 432-247-5654 to order. The Texas Tamale Factory is offering a Christmas tamales menu for catering. Delivery is for December 22nd to 23rd. Cracker Barrel is offering a holiday heat and serve feast with options of either sugar, cured ham, or prime rib. Meals can also come with dressing, gravy, cranberry relish, macaroni and cheese, 2 sides, rolls, apple streusel pie, and pecan pie. Customize orders today at www.crackerbarrel.com. Dickie's Barbecue Pit is offering meals that will feed up to 12 people. Barbecue lovers can choose between packages this holiday season, either the Complete Feast, which serves 10 to 12 people, or Dinner Feast, which serves 8 to 10 people. Both meals come with a choice of protein, either spiral cut ham, smoked turkey, Cajun fried turkey, peppercorn garlic prime rib, or traditional prime rib, sides, gravy, buttery rolls, and dessert. Fans can order Dickie's holiday offerings while supplies last online at dickies.com, through the Dickie's app, or by calling their local Dickie's. Golden Corral will offer holiday meals to go with convenient curbside service. Holiday meals feed 6 to 8 adults and include a choice of carved roast turkey or carved holiday glazed ham for $79.99. All meals come with mashed potatoes, gravy, cornbread stuffing, cranberry sauce, yeast rolls, and one additional side choice of either: buttered corn, green beans, macaroni and cheese, steamed carrots, or sweet potato casserole. Dessert is either a pumpkin or pecan pie. Guests must place their orders by December 21st in order to pick up on Christmas Eve. Morning Sweets. Press Cafe is offering orders of a dozen cinnamon rolls for Christmas. It is $32 for a dozen. Order by 6 p.m. on Friday. Pickup is 6:30 p.m. on December 23rd. Order in-store by calling, texting 432-217-0477 or emailing at patrick.russell@teamsewell.com. Angie's Crafts Confections Coordination is offering Christmas baked goods. People can order amaretto cheesecake, $25, butter rum bundt, $20, Swiss roll log, $20, giant cinnamon roll, $15, dozen cinnamon rolls, $20, and layered spice cake with eggnog buttercream, $30. Pre-orders close on December 20th. Delivery will be December 23rd. Call 575-491-4038 to order. The Bites. Santa Rita Elementary PTA will have a fundraiser from 5 to 8 p.m. Thursday at Whataburger, located at 3206 North Midkiff Road. Seance has released its January menu. Tickets will be available on its website starting Friday. The menu will feature the following: amuse of crisp chicken skin, date mousse, brulee figs, Egyptian star flower accompanied with Veuve Clicquot yellow label Brut champagne, first course of bay scallop, winter vegetables, daikon radish, persimmon and ocietra caviar, paired with Los Nopales Muscat Giallo and Sauvignon Blanc Semillon blend. Second course of mushroom risotto, black burgundy truffle, Asiago and rose petals accompanied by Mokagata Lang Nebbiolo. Third course of chicken roulade, plum jus, butternut squash and sweet Brussels with a black cherry mocktail. Fourth course of Wagyu beef short rib, potato mousseline, sweet and sour gem lettuce, sassafras and fennel bulb paired with Ramy Syrah. Fifth course of hay-smoked quail, orange and chestnut puree, baby eggplant, molasses and juniper berry paired with Etude Carneros Pinot Noir. Dessert of manuka honey banana, fried milk, caramel yuzu, Oreo chocolate chip and white chocolate ice cream with a nightcap of bullet winter sour. Check out a new downtown bar crawl happening from 2 to 8 p.m. January 8th. Sip House, Pie Social, Lost Books, The Reserve, Bourbon Street, and Buffalo Nickel are participating. Wristbands are $20 and available for purchase here. Opal's Table will celebrate its 5th birthday at 7 p.m. on February 5th. Tickets are $125 per person. There will be wines from Camus, Duckhorn, Elizabeth Spencer, Rivanna, Austin Hope, and more. Grammy-nominated singer Tony Camel of Wood & Wire will be performing. tickets will get attendees entrance to the party and concert, past appetizers, 3 drink tickets, and a swag bag. Planning and Zoning Commissioners approved a request by Maverick Engineering for a zone change for the Black Rifle Coffee Company's second Midland location. Midland's first location opened last week. Check out more about the first Black Rifle Coffee Company location here. Waystone Brewing LLC received approval for a specific use designation, with term for the sale of alcoholic beverages on premises consumption in a brewery, for its location in Plaza Oaks Shopping Center at 2101 West Wadley Avenue. The brewery will sell beer and homemade root beer, coffee, and other drinks. A food truck will be parked outside the business during operating hours of 5 to 10 p.m. Thursday and Friday, and 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Saturday. The owner has plans to make the business family-friendly with rented board games. Rusty Tacos was approved by the commissioner for sale of all alcoholic beverages for on-premises consumption in a restaurant. The restaurant will be located in San Miguel Square, 3303 North Midkiff Road. Hours of operation will be 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Sunday through Thursday, and 9 a.m. to midnight Friday and Saturday. Alcohol services will be 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to midnight Friday and Saturday, and noon to 10 p.m. Sunday. The restaurant offers breakfast tacos, a variety of handmade tacos including brisket, roasted pork, fried chicken, and cauliflower vegan option, guacamole, queso, pico de gallo, salsa, margaritas, bottled Mexican cola, Jarritos, fancy beers, churros, and sopapillas. The restaurant also offers a kids menu. Council holds off on parks maintenance deal by Stuart Doreen. The Midland City Council stated it has made mistakes in the past with the funding set aside for parks maintenance and not doing more to hold companies accountable for performance. The admission from the council and city management perspectives came during a discussion about awarding a 3-year, $8.4 million deal for turf and landscape maintenance services at City of Midland Parks, athletic fields, and other city projects maintained within the Parks and Scarborough Sports Complex divisions. The city balked Tuesday during the council's regular meeting at the idea awarding such a long contract to one company, in this case Aldridge Gardens. They also expressed concerns about whether this deal will result in better outcomes. Multiple times it was brought up that weeds, high grass, and stickers plagued events and participant experiences, particularly at sports events at parks across the city. District 4 Councilwoman Lori Blong stated the city needs to be committed to seeing quality, and District 3 Councilman Jack Ladd Jr. stated that handing over contracts without commitments to better results is definition of insanity. Conversations that included city management and Parks and Recreation Manager Lori Williams revealed that the lack of performance with turf and landscape maintenance services was because of cutbacks made in the budget and, therefore, the lack of accountability in performance measures in contracts. Williams said that Aldridge has been responsible for services for years. City documents show it has been at least 14, and that they have been abiding by the contract that the city provided. City officials also stated the hiring of a construction inspector will allow the city to be more responsive to what is taking place at parks across the city and hold companies accountable for responsibilities, like weed or sticker removal, in future contracts. City leadership also stated there is a little wiggle room for when a contract could be awarded. That means the council also will discuss whether to break up the turf and landscape maintenance services duties to multiple companies. Blong, in particular, stated that there needs to be an on-ramp for other companies wanting to do business with the city. During the discussion, it was also brought up that the city has a tendency to go with the same entities at the expense of allowing others to become involved in city business. The city's work with sports associations was brought up here. "Let's let someone else try," Blong stated. Mayor Patrick Payton warned that the council should not create a fix that is worse than the problem in trying to make a change in a small period of time. The council was set to approve a contract that included an increase of costs from $2.2 million to $2.8 million a year. It remains to be seen if that will need to be adjusted based on the discussion that took place on Tuesday. City documents stated the services covered in the contract with Aldridge include mowing, trimming, edging, pesticide and herbicide application, fertilization and plant bed maintenance, and that the increase in the contract was because of increases in materials, labor, and fuel costs, as well as the need to replace some large pieces of equipment. Documents also showed four local companies submitted multi-year proposals, and a committee was formed to review and rank each of the proposals. The committee determined that Aldridge Gardens would be most capable of providing the staff and equipment to provide the required services at the best value. Still, the item was deferred. City approves roundabout project by Stuart Doreen. The city is moving forward roundabout at the intersection of Thomason Drive and Beale Parkway in Southwest Midland. The city reported that the Thomason Drive bond paving project is ongoing, but it excludes needed improvements within the roundabout at Beale Parkway. The proposed work includes erosion control, earthwork, concrete placement, irrigation and landscaping, and lighting in accordance with the drawings, notes, and specifications, the city reported in agenda documents. One of the goals of this project includes providing the recommended elevations within the roundabout to address traffic operations. The city reported that Onyx Contractors LLC is the sole bidder and has submitted a total bid price of $189,701.04. Onyx has a history of successfully completing projects in the area, according to city documents, including the City of Midland's annual citywide concrete program. Add a contingency of $18,970, and the total cost of the project is $208,671. Funds are available in the Thomason Drive bond paving project. The council also approved a contract not to exceed $1.5 million with Onyx for the fiscal year 2022 Midland Citywide Concrete Program, which allows the Transportation Division to address drainage issues, pavement issues, ride quality issues, ADA compliance, and storm drain issues. The Citywide Concrete Program also allows Transportation Division to adjust manhole lids and water valve covers to match the adjacent pavement and to complete improvements at our draws, channels, and drainage basins.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, December 16th, 2021. Community. The Nutcracker returns with live music. The Nutcracker is back at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center this weekend. Professional dancers from across the country will join the cast, elevating the standard of the production while inspiring and investing in our local students, according to Midland Festival Ballet. Also back is the Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale, which has performed with MFB for more than 20 years, is again providing live music. What you need to know. When? 7:30 p.m. Saturday and 2:30 p.m. Sunday. Where? At the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Tickets online, midlandfestivalballet.org. Did you know? Midland Festival Ballet's annual production has been a massive community effort, with the participation of more than 100 students from up to 9 local dance studios. MFB on Basin PBS. Relive the 2020 Nutcracker Reimagined again on Basin PBS, 7 p.m. December 23rd, or at 1 p.m. December 25th, or watch the live stream at basinpbs.org. Upcoming at Midland Festival Ballet. Coming April 16th, 2022, Midland Festival Ballet presents the world premiere of Aladdin and the Magic Carpet. West Texans will see the characters and story they know and love told in a whole new way, in a mesmerizing explosion of movement, light, and color, paired with the drama of live orchestral accompaniment, according to Midland Festival Ballet. Season supporters: Arts Council of Midland, Odessa Arts, Texas Commission on the Arts, National Endowment for the Arts, and the Bryant Family Foundation. About MFB. Midland Festival Ballet is a nonprofit ballet school and a pre-professional ballet company committed to bringing the beauty of ballet to the basin through education, performance, and outreach. For more information about MFB, please visit MidlandFestivalBallet.org or call 432-682-2653. Community Roundup. Meetings. County Commissioners. When? On or after noon Friday. Where? Commissioner's Courtroom, Midland County Courthouse, 500 North Lorraine. Green Acres Christmas Party. Green Acres Mini Golf will have Christmas on the Green from 3 to 9 p.m. Saturday at the golf course, 2905 East Highway 80. The event includes Santa, music, face painting, food trucks, ice sculpture demo, bounce houses, and slides. MCSO hosting Christmas at the Horseshoe. Midland County Sheriff's Office has partnered with local nonprofit organizations to have Christmas at the Horseshoe. The free event is scheduled to begin at 5 p.m. Saturday. A production takes place at 7 p.m. It will feature Santa Claus, live nativity scene, and arts and crafts. Inner Court and JK Dance Studio will perform their live Christmas music program. Events: Brown Bag Lecture with Erica Blecka from the Center for Big Bend Studies, noon Thursday at the Sibley Nature Center. YPM Ugly Sweater Soiree, 6 p.m. Thursday at the Boardroom, 3303 North Midkiff, Suite 210. Cozy Nights Blanket Donation, 10 a.m. to noon Saturday at the MLK Center parking lot. The Negro Business and Professional Women's Club of Midland, Incorporated, and the Salvation Army is giving away over 300 blankets to those in need. It is first come, first served, with one blanket given to each car. Third Saturdays in the Garden, 10 a.m. to noon Saturday, at the West Texas Food Bank of Midland. Adult Hot Chocolate Party and Art Show, 7 to 9:30 p.m. Saturday at the Fafa Gallery. Christmas on the Green, 3 to 9 p.m. Saturday at Green Acres, 2905 East Highway 80. Night at the Stable, 3 p.m. Saturday at Connection Christian Church. Holiday Hangover Drag Brunch, 1 p.m. December 26th at the Beer Garden. New Year's Eve at Eccentric Brewing, 6 p.m. December 31st, 1402 Cotton Flat Road. Nonprofits. Upcycle Christmas Ornament, 3:30 p.m. Thursday at the Midland Downtown Library. Third Thursday Reading Program, 4:30 p.m. Thursday at the Bush Childhood Home. Annual Christmas Community Lunch, 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. December 20th at the Midland Soup Kitchen Ministry. Entertainment Calendar. Midland Festival Ballet presents The Nutcracker Saturday and Sunday at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Lightwire Theater presents A Very Elegant Christmas, 7:30 p.m. Monday at Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. MISD Fine Arts. Bowie Fine Arts Academy presents Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, 5:30 p.m. Thursday and Friday, and 2 p.m. Saturday at the Bowie Fine Arts Auditorium, 805 Elk Avenue. Mail-by dates. If one is shipping cards and gifts for Christmas, here are the United States Postal Service recommended deadlines. First Class Mail Service, Friday. Priority Mail Service, Saturday. Priority Mail Express Service, December 23rd.
Obituaries and death notices from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Thursday. Alexander Nicholas Nick Tenorio of Midland passed away on Wednesday, December 8th. A visitation will begin at 12 p.m. on Friday, December 17th at the branch at NPW, with a rosary beginning at 7 p.m. Funeral Mass will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, December 18th, at St. Stephen's Catholic Church. Interment will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Nick was born on October 30, 1988, in Vernon, Texas, to Ricky Tenorio and Sabrina Rodriguez. Alexander Nicholas Nick Tenorio is survived by his father and his mother, daughter Alexandra Nicole Tenorio, sisters Jamie Tenorio and Jennifer Gutierrez, brother Richard Tenorio and wife Madison Harris, three nieces, three nephews, numerous aunts, uncles, and cousins. Nick is preceded in death by maternal grandparents Juan and Judith Bustamante, paternal grandparents Felipe Tenorio and Paula Hilburn. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Ruth Ann Dunavant Reich peacefully left this world on December 6th at the home of her son and daughter-in-law. She was born in Hartford City, Indiana on July 31st, 1927, to Mary and Arthur Shane. She had three brothers, Raymond, Don, and Dan, all of whom preceded her in death. While attending Henrietta High School in Henrietta, Oklahoma, she met the man who would steal her heart and be her forever love, Neil Dunavant. She was preceded in death by her son, Gary. She is survived by her son, David, and his wife, Kelly, and their children. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, December 18th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. In lieu of flowers, we would ask that donations be made to First Baptist Church of Midland, 2104 West Louisiana, Midland, Texas, 79707. Donation to the General Budget Fund in memory of Ruth Ann Dunavant Reich. To send condolences to the family, please sign her guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Patricia Darlene Johnson, 62, of Midland, passed away on Saturday, December 11th. Celebration of Life will be held on Tuesday, December 21st at 3 p.m. at Nellie Picklin Welch Chapel. Live stream will be available at www.npwelch.com. Ramon Enrique Ricky Luna, 65, of Odessa, passed from this life on December 14th in Odessa. Ramon Enrique Luna was born in Seminole, Texas, to Guadalupe Alvarado Porras and Manuel P. Luna on August 22, 1956. Viewing visitation will be held at American Heritage Funeral Home on Thursday, December 16th, beginning at 2 p.m. until 6 p.m. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory. Santiago Jimmy Martinez Sr. of Midland passed away December 12th. A viewing will be Thursday, December 16th from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. with a rosary to be recited at 7 p.m. at Llewellyn Pipkin Garcia Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral Mass will be held Friday, December 17th at Our Lady of Guadalupe at 10 a.m. Burial will follow at Rest Haven North. He is survived by a son, Jimmy Martinez Jr., daughter Kathy Martinez, brothers Pascual Martinez, Eddie Mejia, and Gilbert Mejia, sisters Manuela Lopez and Maria Martinez, one grandson, and numerous nephews and nieces.
Hi, I'm Kim, and I'm reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, December 16th, 2021. Hayes-Fawcett race gets contentious. County judge seat will be decided in May primary. Ector County judge candidate Dustin Fawcett says someone is conducting a whisper campaign to scuttle his candidacy, and he hopes that someone is not Judge Debbie Hayes or her supporters. Fawcett said Wednesday morning that he has been asked about allegations that he would only serve 2 years of his 4-year term as judge and then would run against State Representative Brooks Landgraf, and that he wants to give a substantial part of the county's rural sales tax revenues to Medical Center Hospital and the city of Odessa. Denying those allegations, Fawcett said, "Another false rumor is that I'm running at the behest of a special interest group that promised they would help me get into office. I worked on Brooks's first campaign in 2014. I was his legislative assistant in 2017 and was his regional director in Odessa. We spent countless hours driving back and forth to Austin and were very good friends. I reached out to him when I first heard this rumor, and we both laughed about it." Hayes said Wednesday afternoon that she has nothing to do with the rumors, and she hoped for clean campaigns in all the primary races, because the main thing Odessa and Ector County needs is unity. Fawcett, 30, was vice president of the Midland-Odessa Transportation Alliance from 2018 until last May, and he is now manager of the MCH's ProCare Clinic. Hayes is finishing her first term, and the voters will decide between the two in the March 1st Republican primary. There is no Democrat in the race. "I was certainly not recruited by a special interest group or anyone else," Fawcett said. "My decision to run comes from the work I did in Austin and my work with Motran." Asked what he thought the source of the rumors was, Fawcett said, "Somebody who wants to mislead the voters about my intentions. I hope they're not coming from my opponent. I have worked with her over the past several years, and she knows why I'm running against her. I've seen that the solutions for our problems will not come from Austin or Washington. They're going to come at the local level through teamwork with our fellow entities and fellow elected officials, and that's something we have not had with her leadership in our county." Fawcett has previously said that Hayes does not get along with many of the other elected officials in the city and the county, and that the fallout from that hurts everyone in Ector County. "Rather than tap that rural sales tax to help the hospital," Fawcett said, he would have voted to grant MCH President CEO Russell Tippin's request for $7 million from the $16.1 million that the county got this year from the Federal American Rescue Plan Act, an appropriation the U.S. Treasury Department has promised to repeat in 2022. I've heard that I plan to give over the county sales tax to the city and the hospital, he said. That one is extremely false. Anytime an entity votes for a tax on themselves to solve issues such as infrastructure, law enforcement, and the environment, that makes a big statement in a county like Ector County. My intent would be to give money to the hospital, not out of the sales tax, but out of the American Rescue Plan Act. I have an issue with the commissioners' courts voting to hire a third party to tell them how best to spend those dollars rather than the community deciding how those federal dollars are allocated. The city gave the hospital $3 million that will be reimbursed 100% by the Federal Emergency Management Agency. So essentially, the citizens of Ector County are receiving a free $3 million that's going to health care in our community. Fawcett also blames Hayes for Tippin's inability to state his case more fully than he did in his initial court appearance, August 11th. She didn't allow Russell to give the presentation he had requested, the candidate said. Russell emailed Judge Hayes several times, and she alone neglected to allow him to be on the agenda. Hayes said Wednesday afternoon that the questions Fawcett raised are news to me. I don't know where those statements came from, but they didn't come from me, she said. My hope is that we will show integrity and have a clean race, not only in my race, but in all the races in the county. We do not need division. We need unity. She also said the court voted 5-0 to use the American Rescue Act money where it is most beneficial to all the taxpayers. But there are many strings attached. Fawcett is correct that the county voted to hire an outside agency, but declined to give more money to the hospitals, which have been on the front lines of the fight against COVID and also financially hit by the pandemic. Fawcett is also correct that Tippin asked to be on the county agenda to make a case for MCH receiving funds and not allowed on an agenda, and that the county essentially has nothing to lose by helping the hospitals as they would have been reimbursed any money spent to shore up local health care. Hayes said the county did not want to spend it inappropriately and put a burden on the taxpayers by having to turn around and pay that money back to the federal government. Many cities and counties that receive the funding, including the city of Odessa and Midland, did give money to help local hospitals devastated by the pandemic. Hayes said she has known Fawcett for many years. I don't have any hard feelings about him wanting to run for county judge because I feel like anyone that wants to put their name on the ballot and run should be respected because it is a big choice to serve the people. She also said her decisions during her term were business-driven and not emotionally driven. Trustees talk budget priorities. Addressing inequities in the Ector County ISD system, staffing, salaries, and upkeep of the schools were just a few of the budget priorities mentioned by members of the Board of Trustees at their meeting. President Tammy Hawkins and Board Member Donna Smith were absent. Vice President Steve Brown chaired the meeting. Board Secretary Carol Gregg said the district should spend what it can to support failing schools. Gregg said, "You can't buy your way out of this problem, but there are salary enhancements bringing in experts. I don't know what the answer is, but I don't want money to stand in the way of this priority," Gregg said. Her other priority is staff. She added that they have undergone real difficulty in the past few years having to deal with COVID and parents who communicate by email and text. "I feel like we need to do more to show our appreciation to our teachers and other staff," Gregg said. She added that they need to improve hourly salaries for the lowest paid workers and focus on speech therapy and other specialists. Gregg said they need to pay signing and retention bonuses, even bonuses for just making it through the year. She said there aren't as many vacancies as they've had in the past, but she feels that staff is getting burned out. Trustee Delma Avalos agreed with Greg about tackling inequities in the schools and wants to increase pay for employees. Avalos said she would also like to see school improvement and not waiting until a bond is voted on. Board member Chris Stanley said he agreed with Greg and Avalos and would also like to prioritize retention programs like AVID, athletics, fine arts, and career and technical education. He'd also like to see more professional development, such as helping teachers toward their master's degrees or potentially their PhD. On technology, Stanley said ECISD has caught up, but they have to keep up because devices can be obsolete quickly. He also wants to do whatever possible to raise special education up from Stage 3 under state rating to Stage 1. Trustee Nelson Minyard said the district needs to continue bonuses, and special education is something that's always on his mind. He said specialists like speech pathologists are not paid enough, and they are much in demand. Brown said he echoed what the other board members said and would like to continue to move employees up on the pay scale. Brown added that ECISD has to look at fair market salaries for skilled workers like plumbers and pay them accordingly. Brown said he'd also like to look at the efficiencies of the programs the district is using, as academic success is the district's number one priority. He also wants to improve the appearance of campuses, especially in highly visible areas. Superintendent Scott Murray said the district has been working with the Texas Association of School Boards on salary scales the past few years. He said officials may bring some compensation ideas to the board in the spring. Murray said the board should get a look at a draft of next year's budget in May. In other business, trustees voted 5-0 to approve the pursuit of an innovative partnership with UTPB STEM Academy. A formal agreement, if reached, will be brought back to trustees for approval, likely in March. Last week, a team from the University of Texas Permian Basin spoke with the trustees about UTPB STEM's history and the potential of a partnership, the board recap said. UTPB STEM opened in 2014-15 with 308 students and 14 teachers in grades kindergarten through 6th. Currently, the school has 770 students and 39 teachers, grades kinder through 12. The charter is delegated to the president of UTPB and is approved for an enrollment of up to 3,900 students. The UTPB STEM calendar is 180 days of instruction from 7:50 a.m. until 2:15 p.m. Monday through Thursday. On Fridays, the school dismisses at noon. The early dismissals allow students to continue learning online, work with tutors and interventions, and allow professional development for staff. The school utilizes project-based learning and STEM-based learning. A future partnership with ECISD would benefit students at UTPB by giving them access to ECISD's athletic and fine arts programs. Plus, ECISD could help with facilities, counseling services, transportation, and food services. ECISD would benefit by having an additional choice school option for families, a future middle school option, a collaborative partnership with shared resources between the two entities, and the continued building of the college-going culture for ECISD students. Trustees also approved an inter-local agreement with the city to give veterinary tech students a chance to work at the animal shelter. Executive Director of Career and Technical Education Carla Byrne said veterinary tech students undergo practicums at Angel Veterinary Clinic, 8th Street Animal Hospital, West Texas Emergency Veterinary Clinic, and Cobb Elementary Clinic in Midland. They have had partnerships in the past with Grandview and A to Z, and Byrne hopes to continue those in the future. Trustees voted 5-0 to accept the superintendent's recommendation to terminate Jovan Jacob Lopez Pando's contract. Special presentations included the recognition of Permian High School Associate Principal Ismael Lujan as the Region 18 Outstanding Assistant Principal of the Year by the Texas Association of Secondary School Principals, and the introduction of the four students whose artwork adorned the school board's Christmas card this year. COVID-19 news by the numbers. COVID in the basin. Ector County, 27,366 total cases, 561 deaths. ECISD daily cases, 3 students, 3 staff. Midland County, 30,040 total cases, 396 deaths. Texas, 4,401,117 total cases, 74,707 deaths. U.S. cases, 50,181,003 total confirmed and 797,877 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. MCH releases COVID numbers. Medical Center Hospital has released its inpatient numbers as of 8:30 a.m. Wednesday. 41 total COVID patients in-house, med-surg non-critical, 30 COVID patients, 21 unvaccinated, 5 vaccinated, 1 unknown, critical care, 11 COVID patients, 6 on ventilator, 7 unvaccinated, 4 vaccinated. Of the 6 COVID patients on ventilator, 4 unvaccinated, 2 vaccinated. Age ranges of COVID patients, 21 years old to 90 years old. Patients from outside Ector County include 1 from Crane, 2 from Fort Stockton, 1 from Hugo, Oklahoma, 3 from Midland. Quick hits. 'Tis the season to support survivors. The Crisis Center of West Texas has scheduled 'Tis the Season to Support Survivors and Children this holiday for those looking for a way to help. Angel Tree. Drop off gifts, unwrapped or in bags, during business hours through today at McAllister's Deli, 2002 East 42nd Street. Drop off donations, new toys, home goods, or hygiene items for clients in any of the donation boxes located at HQ Chiropractic, 4100 Bonham Avenue. Dr. John M. Weaver, DDS, 2000 North Grandview Avenue. Jackson Hewitt Tax Service, 3119 East University Boulevard, Suite A, and Runke's Extreme Cycle, 12406 West Highway 80 East. Coat Drive, deliver new and gently used coats through CCWTX Partners, EXP Realty at Desert Ridge, 2314 Boise Drive. CCWTX Administration Office. For those who can't make it to a drop-off location, visit the CCWTX Admin Office at 910 B South Grant Avenue or donate online at ccwtx.org. For more information, call 432-333-2527. Pfizer COVID-19 Pediatric Vaccine Clinic. The Ector County Health Department has scheduled a Pfizer COVID Pediatric Vaccine Clinic for ages 5 through 11 from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. today at Murray Fly Elementary, 11688 West Westview Drive. ECHD will be offering first and second doses. Parent guardians must be present. For more information, call 432-498-4141 or visit co.ector.texas.us or tinyurl.com/3E2YKV2U. Junior League Odessa Horse-Drawn Carriage Rides. The Junior League of Odessa will once again be hosting horse-drawn carriage rides through Shiloh in Emerald Forest, a press release stated. This will be the fourth year Junior League Odessa has offered carriage rides to the community. This year, there will be 6 different evenings of rides. Each ride is about 20 minutes long. The event will be held through today. The rides begin each evening at 6:30 p.m., and the last ride will be at 8:50 p.m. Available carriages have seats for 4, 6, and 12 people. Tickets are now on sale for the community. All of the proceeds raised from ticket sales will benefit Junior League Odessa. Food trucks will also be available on site. For more information, call 432-332-0095 or email carriages at jlodessa.org. Virtual Holiday Raffle. Keep Odessa Beautiful is conducting a virtual holiday raffle to raise funds for the 2021-2022 initiatives and upcoming events. KOB will have prizes valued from $25 all the way up to $500. Entry fee is $20 per entry or $100 for 6 entries, and the drawing will take place at noon Friday live on KOB Facebook page. To enter, visit tinyurl.com/48njrwmm. Junior Leadership Odessa Open Enrollment. The Odessa Chamber of Commerce, 700 North Grant Avenue, has open enrollment for 2022 Junior Leadership Odessa. The 2022 session schedule for junior leadership is listed as follows. January 22nd, 2022, retreat from 8:25 a.m. to 4 p.m. January 24th, media and education from 5:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. January 30th, law enrollment and government from 5:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. February 7th, medical and social services from 5:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. February 14th, arts and culture from 5:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. February 22nd, graduation from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. The junior leadership is free to join. The enrollment deadline for junior leadership is 5 p.m. Friday. To enroll today or for more information, contact Lynn Van Amberg at 432-333-7862 or lynnva@odessachamber.com. Southwest Holiday Youth Convention. Life Challenge and Southwest Youth Conference has scheduled the Southwest Holiday Youth Convention from 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Friday, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, and from 2 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. Sunday at Life Challenge, 4500 North Grandview Avenue. Special guests will include Cornelius Williams and Victor Jackson. Afterburners will be volleyball and food trucks Friday, and coffee, s'mores, and a bonfire Saturday. Admission is free, however, registration is required.